Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
And you're listening to Sheffield.
Hi, my name is Billy Bragg, and you're listening to Sheffield Live on 93.2 FM.
Hi, I'm Eddie Grant, and you're listening to Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM.
Yeah, welcome. This is Sweet Talking Sport on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM, also available on DAB Radio. It's Straight to the Point chat show that deals with the latest sports news and stories with both interviews and joining an audience that fit today's modern day society, devoted entirely to sports and discussion on sporting events, whether local or national. A good to go on air style, expansive debate and analysed by myself and guest two. You know, of the regular programming, probably Yorkshire's best talking sports show radio you will ever hear. So, welcome, G.
Yes, me dear. Well, go on, people.
So, without further ado, I hope nobody's listening, but if you are, please keep this to yourself and promise me that. What's been happening? Anything?
Not a great deal, you know, just getting on with things. Been a nice week this week. Sun's been shining, so my wife has been out in it and, you know, just passing time.
And enough respect to CV who don't present, you know. Hopefully we'll see him back in the hot seat soon. And we're keeping it warm for you, so don't worry yourself. Your intention's safe and easy, you know. On with the show. And I want to talk about a bit of athletics being exposed. And it is the Kenyan athletes in the hot seat at this moment in time. There's been a lot of going off. And I want to kind of like just kind of play something. If I can find it. And it's quite an interesting take. Take time with the nice noji.
Like this in the comments of this video when I tell you. On December 6th of 2020, we witnessed one of the greatest road races to ever take place in the history of athletics. In the 2020 Valencia Half Marathon, we saw a 13.1-mile race for the record books. And up front, we had two titans in the running world, both battling for a shot at a world record. And with a sensational time of 57 minutes and 32 seconds, Kibiwa Kandie from Kenya managed to not only take this half marathon, but he had just broken the previous world record by a staggering 29 seconds, taking down the previous mark of Jeffrey Kamworo, who ran a time of 58 minutes and 1 second for the previous world record. This half marathon equates to a per mile pace of 4 minutes and 23 seconds, and it also equates to a per kilometer effort of 2 minutes and 43 seconds. So on the day, Kanye made amazing history on the lightning quick streets of Valencia. In addition to this record, Kanye has also run incredibly well for the past few years, running a 26:50 in Germany in 2022. He ran a 2-hour and 4-minute marathon in the 2023 Valencia Marathon, and he was also Kenya's national champion over the 10,000 meters in 2023, achieving a time of 27:52. Indeed, Kanye has proven himself as one of the most elite athletes who does appear to have a specialty over the half marathon. However, things are not looking good for the previous world record holder, because over this past week, some terrible news has come out surrounding Kibiwa Kandie's career. On March 14th, the Athletics Integrity Unit announced that they are provisionally suspending Candier for evading, refusing, or outright failing to submit a sample for collection, which basically means he is not cooperating in any way when asked to submit a urine sample. And most have already speculated and probably figured out that he's currently doing this because he is using performance-enhancing drugs right now. He just doesn't want to get caught after giving a certain sample. Now, this provisional suspension currently means that Candier is not allowed to participate in any competition in athletics prior to a final decision in a hearing conducted by the World Athletics Federation. So, up until a final decision has been reached, we will not be seeing Candier compete anywhere, and this hold can last anywhere from 3 months, up to 6 months, even up to an entire year. It all depends on how the process unfolds and how Candier either defends himself or pleads guilty. All in all, this...
Yeah, Kenny A, you know, he's in the hot waters. He's kind of failing to cooperate with the officials, you know, and you can only think it's been taking the juice.
Yeah, I actually saw that myself, actually, on YouTube, on the news thing. I saw that about this guy. That time before they brought up the drugs thing, he sounded very promising, unbelievable runner. And then, of course, that comes to light. And it's to me now, if you're refusing to give the specimens, which you know you have to and all that, then what does that say?
Yeah.
It's a shame, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's right. I mean, it's not looking good for Kenya or also the Kenya athletes, really, because they've got this kind of like ban list what athletes have failed to comply. And believe it or not, there's 647 athletes banned on this list until they kind of comply and hand in samples and stuff. 123 out of 647 athletes are actually from Kenya.
That's bad.
You know, it's shocking, that, really.
That's bad.
And, you know, there's probably... You know, I might sound a little bit kind of like, well, not sitting on the fence, but anyway, I'll just say what I think, because the prize money for these athletes out there, you know, they can command up to about 80 grand, and that's like winning a big race, the sponsorship deals, and all that kind of stuff. Now, for that, that's a lifetime.
Yeah.
It's a life-changing... Yeah. You know, kind of situation for them families too. You know,
especially from them kind of countries there. That's 100%. Big 100%. Money. That, you know what I mean?
And I never looked at it like this before. I'm thinking, why these Kenyan men and women, they're dangerous. You know what I mean?
Well, that's like how we looked at it back in the 90s.
Yeah. Kipchenyo and all them kind of people like from back in the days. You've got to question it now.
You've got to question everything now, haven't
100%,
you?
100%, man. 100% you've got to question it.
Because I mean, there was always at the forefront, weren't there? I mean, there were some good runners out there, but back in the day, you always expected some from Africa to be at the forefront of it all, no matter what, male or female. And now, once one person does it, it brings bad name on the whole team, the whole structure, everything.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, like I said, 647 athletes can't compete at anything. I mean, what they're going to do, how they're going to survive and all that kind of
that's
stuff.
That's a ridiculous down, man, you know? Number down.
And 1, 2, 3 are down to Kenyans. So, you know, they've truly got a target on the back. You know what I mean? Because like any events now...
It's going to be questioned.
Yeah, 100% they're going to go for them.
Especially,
you know,
time breakers like that, it's going to be questioned.
That's right.
I mean, a big time breaker.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot at stake. But what do you do now? I mean, you know, it's kind of, yeah, we know kind of life can be hard for them out there. Do you know what I mean? And I suppose they're looking for a way out to that. And one way is to run, and you take your juice, and if you get away with it, you have dollars, innit?
But we've said that all the time, you know, ain't it? No matter what sports it's in, whatever else. If you take it, you take a risk, whatever else. But in this kind of situation now, what do you do if you say you've got 100 and odd Kenyan athletes that can't run, 600 and odd other athletes from other countries? I mean, back in the day, remember when the USSR got banned?
Yeah.
For how long? For how many years?
Why? And they took the most amount of juice. You know
the
what
most
I mean?
Amount, and here we are again in a similar way,
yeah,
aren't
yeah,
we?
Yeah. I mean, I suppose like somebody has been kind of like over the years has been kind of like looking at the stats and stuff. And you don't kind of really hear this really on the news unless I've missed something and that, you know, you only get this on Sweet Talking Sport. You know what I mean? You know, we kind of go to the down to the bone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we try to cover everything. Nobody now escape, is it? We will find you.
You know, like Jesus said, you know, we'll find you. Yeah. So, you know, whether you are run and hide under the bed under the settee, we'll find you.
I'll find you still.
Yeah, hide and seek. You know. So, yeah, nothing doesn't go amiss on this show. You know, Sweet Talking Sport. You know. You're kind of like listening to the man called G, CV don't present, you know? So Friday the 21st, live and direct.
You have to watch him, you know?
True.
We have to watch him, you know, see what I'll go on, you know?
Oh. And, yeah, that's kind of like, you know, the Kenyans being kind of like exposed big time. But onto tennis. I'm going to talk about Venus Williams, the sister of Serena. She's turned down the wildcard offer to compete at the 2025 Indian Wells Open, which I do believe it's in California. For the fourth time, Olympic champion has been offered a wildcard earlier this month for what would have been her first professional tennis tournament since the Miami Open back in May 24. However, Williams has had the current WTA world ranking of 975, has not taken up the offer to play in the Indian Wells, a tournament which is in the American, has a best record of reaching the semi-finals on three occasions. I mean, are you surprised she's kind of like turned that down? 44-year-old. Some people might say, do you know what? She should retire now, you know, nearly a year out of the game. It's obvious that she hasn't got a hunger for it. But, you know, on the flip of a coin, on the other side, there's also a reason why she hasn't announced her retirement. She last played in 2023. US Open was a, sorry, not the last time she played, was her last victory against Kudermetova in Cincinnati 2 weeks before that. So, you know...
Did she give a reason why for that?
For what?
For not taking up the wild card.
Well, I suppose, do you know what? For me, if she's not being active, she probably doesn't want to... Embarrass herself, yeah. Or look below average. I mean, obviously, they're looking for names. And anybody, you know, out there might be thinking, well, a wild card, what's a wild card? Well, that allows a player to enter a tournament directly into the main draw, bypassing qualification rounds, despite their ranking. And we said that she was ranked, what, 970-odd, I do believe.
That's how, you know, far she's up the table now, or down the table,
yeah. So the higher the number, you know, the
lower it be,
lower the ranking, higher the number.
She's
obviously
dropped a heck of a lot, then, hasn't she?
To be fair, you know, she's been inactive for nearly a year. So if you're not active, you know, you are going to drop rankings. But you know, they've looked at that, and despite the ranking, any player can be offered a wild card, which basically, what we know it, is being given a bligh, really.
Yeah, she's got a bligh, you know? She never took it.
But, like I said, if you're kind of like, if that is your kind of like forte, and you haven't really been playing tennis or whatever sport you're into, as a matter of fact, if you're not being active, then you're highly unlikely to take an offer of getting a bligh to participate in a tournament, regardless of your ranking. Do you know what I mean? For me, I understand that.
I get that, but then that question arises again. Why don't you just retire and done? Because she's a lot older now. To get that fitness back into tennis and to work her way back up the ladder now, that's going to take some doing, isn't it?
100% at 44. Yeah, you know, I mean,
she might as well just say, you know what, semi-resignation there and done.
Yeah, I mean, you know, she's had some serious injuries along the way. Hip flexor muscle injury back in 2011. Tennis elbow, 2016. Knee injury, 2023. And all the rest of it, you know. However, Venus, it was confirmed that she turned down the wild card offer, you know, in India, Wells Open, California.
She'll not come back, man. She'll not come back. I can't see her coming back. That's my opinion. I can't see her coming back at all.
It's a brave call. It's a brave call. I mean, you know, you could say never.
So them say.
I mean? Until that day comes where she says, do you know what? I'm out of here. You know, my racket's not coming out. But we know that people have reversed that decision and they've come out of retirement.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If something kind of tempts them, you know, maybe, you know, it's the winnings, maybe it's the cash, you know, maybe, you know, they just might just miss the sport, you know? But, you know, I think she was seen there at the Wells just kind of like warming up. So maybe she thought, you know what? That probably, for me, needs to happen behind closed doors, behind the scenes. You know, get up to standard. You know what I mean? As best you can. And then announce, said, you know what? I'll take that wild card. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll show people, say, I'm not done.
I'm still here. I can do something.
I get that. You know what I mean? So that's kind of like, really kind of like interesting as well.
Yeah, let's see what she goes on with. I mean, personally, I can only see her playing these little like charity matches and things like that, maybe, but to come back at a high level that she was on,
yeah, it's quite right about that one.
We'll see, we'll see.
Okay, can make me happy. Yes, I have some bad tunes.
I know Joseph's with her now, you know. Remember that, I know Josephine's with her now,
From tennis, like I say, we do cover the sports on this show. You're not just kind of like one-dimensional. And I've got some from Dominic Ingle now.
Dominic Ingle hits back at social media comments after his brutal review of a fight in Riyadh recently.
Racist. Let me just correct you there. I'm not a racist. Yeah, because this is a comment I love because a lot of my friends are black. But I'm not going to say that. I'm not a racist. I'm an ability-ist. I discriminate against people who ain't got ability, so I'm an ability-ist. That's what I am, yeah? So I'm not racist, as a few of the comments suggested, and which is really ironic, really, bearing in mind that my dad was an immigrant from Ireland, Irish. I'm second generation. His mother, and it's funny because some random on my social media sent me a message, oh, you were Jew. And I thought, that's a strange question to ask. But then actually, when I was talking to my brother this morning over a coffee, we were talking about this particular question, and my grandmother was actually Jewish. And that's probably because I've got, you know, big nose and big ears. Maybe that's why they got the thing, or they think I've got a lot of money. I'm not quite sure. And back in the 60s, I always remember when I was a kid at school, most of my friends, there were only two kids in the family. And all the Irish families, and there was only a handful, they all had four and five kids. And I used to think to myself, how come everybody else has only got two kids in family? And, like, there's five in mine, there's five in somebody else's. And then my dad was always a bit conscious of being Irish. And he said, Dominic, when I first came over here, he says, you go for digs to stay. And he says, and this is what you'd see in the windows of the boarding houses. Look, see what that says. Now, if I said to you, name me three people you don't like, you'd probably name the one that you dislike first and then go down the list of less. So if that's the case, look at this, what it says here. No Irish, no blacks, no dogs. So even the dogs were better thought of than the Irish and even the blacks. And that's what signs used to be in the windows. No Irish, no blacks, no dogs. So when you talk about being racist and discrimination, you've got to look at that, how it's changed. It doesn't say on there, no Asians or no Pakistanis or no Ukrainians. It just says no Irish, no blacks, no dogs. And considering that, it actually sounds like I'm trying to defend myself here, but I'm not really. I'm just trying to point out to the boxing fans who've probably been around for 5 or 6 or even 10 years, you know, not a great depth of knowledge, that the first time when I was about probably 11 or 12, one morning I woke up and I looked across from me in the next bed was a black fella. It was Errol Graham. And he'd been to a boxing show with my dad. I mean, he didn't quite make it home, so he stayed at my house. And he lived with us for about 4 or 5 years. He was like the sixth child. So he lived with us from being about 18 to being about 20-odd. And then you think about all the world champions we've had. I think the discrimination is that we've had no white world champions. They've all been black. So, you know, I suppose I could be racist, but people say, well, you know, it's all about money, isn't it? You know.
Yeah, Dominic.
Where's that story come from?
Ingo. Well, you know what I mean? He can dig up anything. You know what I mean? Anything, like anytime, anywhere, any place. You know? So, Dominic Ingle, yeah, I mean,
I'm kind of surprised.
A lot of people know Dom. Sometimes he can come across as a bit arrogant and stuff mm-hmm, like that. Sometimes mm-hmm. he can come across like he ain't got no time for people. But generally, you know, I kind of know him. And he's not a bad guy. But as for, you know, to be branded a racist, I suppose that person, I mean, we're not aware of the situation from where he come from. Maybe he was just having a dig at him. Maybe he kind of like, he said something and I thought, a slip of the tongue. That's kind of like, could be like a racist kind of like comment there. But, you know, Dom kind of like holding his corner and saying basically, you know, the people who is helped, trained. Yes, there's money in that for the professionals. I remember Bomber Graham, there were Brian Anderson also as well, yeah, you know, yeah, Winkerbank yeah. Back in the days and his late father Brendan also as well. So, yeah, I'm kind of surprised. But like I said, deep down, not really know where that kind of like story's from. It's just Dominic kind of like defending his colours, like, you know, you'd expect somebody to defend their colours.
That's a hard one to swallow still, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, 100%.
Knowing who he is, where he came from, and the people that's been around him and things. I know mm-hmm. them say, what is it, wolf in sheep clothing and things where people can hide and that.
Yep.
But, mm-hmm. oh, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it takes all kinds.
Yeah, yeah.
It's something about racism. I mean, we talk quite often on this show, something that, you know, is a part of society, whether we like it or not, and you deal with it, whatever kind of situation you feel fit. Sometimes it's got a little bit nasty. I'm not saying with me personally, but, you know, it can get that kind of nasty, and, you know, the opposition I've kind of fronted up to, you know what I mean? So we've kind of grown up with that, you know?
Without a doubt.
You know, so, yeah, go on, Dom, defend your colours, yeah? And on to...
But hold on there. It's true what he said, though, you know, when he was talking about when you're seeing in windows about who cannot enter.
Mm-hmm.
No Irish, no blacks, no dogs. I mean, the dogs are just thrown in there to embarrass us even more. But it's true. You see them signs there, whatever else, back in when in America and all those things, whatever else. But never any other culture, just we
mm-hmm.
and the Irish.
Yeah. Yep, them days, yeah?
Them days, man.
Those were the days of our elders and stuff, what they went through,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And as, you know, within our generation, sometimes we just have to just sweep up,
you know, just have to tidy up things.
Yes, tidy up things, what's left, what they're missing it.
You know. Eddie Jordan, the flamboyant former F1 team owner and television pundit, passed away, sadly, at the age of 76. Irishman who had aggressive prostate cancer died in the early hours on Thursday morning.
Oh, sorry to hear that, man.
You know, a statement from his family said, "It's with profound sadness that we announce the passing of Eddie Jordan, OBE, the ex-F1 team owner and pundit, like I said, passed away peacefully with his family by his side. Jordan was known across the world for his outspoken, mischievous character, achieved rare success as an independent team owner. His team, which made its debut back in 1991, won 4 Grand Prix in its 15th year in the sports and challenged briefly for the Drivers' Championship in 1999 before suffering declining fortunes and being sold back in 2005. All our condolence from Sweet Talking Sport. Yeah, with his family and friends, you know. Bit of a character was Eddie.
Yeah, was it a man that really mixed his words, was it?
You know?
You have to be careful sometimes when he was talking what he was going to say, you know what I mean? Because you could see he wanted to set on certain things, but...
Yeah.
That's cool, but yeah. Uh-huh. Rest in peace, man. Rest in peace.
True. Gonna dance into the football world now. Thomas Tuchel, or Thomas the Tank Engine, was appointed as England head coach back in January of this year. Tuchel takes his England team against Albania this evening. England ranked 4th in the world and Albania ranked as 65. You know, as for the footballing nations, it's going to be a no contest, surely.
You'd hope so, wouldn't you?
You know, I mean, in England's group, World Cup qualifier, you know, you've got, like I said, Albania there, Andorra, Latvia, Serbia, you know, so I kind of like went back in time, really. And obviously we know that Tuchel's a German and a previous foreign managers before that. You had Sev Gjørv-Eriksen. We spoke about him on this show too.
Yes.
And, you know, he's kind of like off antics, you know.
Off the pitch, yep.
You know. Oops, that could have been a penalty there, but, you know, we'll kind of sidestep that one too. Win percentage, 59.7%. But Fabio Capello at the moment, the Italian... He's got a win percentage. This is with England, no other, you know, footballing things, what he's been up to. 66.7%. So, Sev, he reigned the hot seat from 2001 to 2006, a Swedish. And Capello, he stepped in the hot seat at 2007 to... 2012, I do believe. You know, I mean, how do you see kind of like Tuchel, kind of like, you know, commanding out there?
Oh, gosh, you know, it's so hard to say with the way England play when it comes to these tournaments, you know what I mean? I mean, last one, Europe, whatever, they didn't play too tough. When it comes to... I just don't know. Do we blame the managers or do we blame the football team, the players themselves? Because they seem... We have got some very good players in the in the England team and stuff, whatever. They can get as far as the semis and then they're still fumble. I mean, that's the furthest they've been in years. This year again, I mean... I honestly don't know.
Mm.
I don't know much about this brother that's taking over, whatever else, but... Premiership and whatever league is different from international. So
100%, you know.
Let's see. And like I said before, previously, it would be an embarrassment.
Mm-hmm.
My feelings for a German manager to come and take the English team all the way.
Mm. I mean,
we never lived that down.
I know, because like, you wouldn't get a reverse of that. I don't think you'd get an English manager managing the German national team. I just couldn't
I could never see that myself.
Not in our lifetime.
I could never see that. And no disrespect to the guy, but why would you do that still? There's always, from we were growing up as kids, there's always been that little animosity between England and Germany.
Yeah, yeah. Every time they play, they put their helmet on.
Put them helmet on.
Let's go.
There's always been that. So why would you pick a German manager to manage the English team?
You know? I mean, you know, Tuchel says he wants a team to play with hunger. To win, not with fear to lose, as he prepares for his first match in charge of the Three Lions. And that's something else for me. I don't know where them get Three Lion from, because...
This is it. You know? Where the Lion come from? I've always thought that we get
pure stupidness, you know?
But anyway, that's another story.
You know,
what do you think? Do you think this guy can move England forward?
Kind of like with their group, it's going to come across as a world beater, because I'm telling you, like all tonight, it should be 5 and 6. Do you know what I mean? Or even 7, you know, and, you know, the flags are going to come out for him. You know what I mean? Andorra, same thing. Latvia, same thing. Serbia, same thing. You know what I mean? Goal. You know what I mean? So, you know, it should be elementary. You know, that they broke it up tonight, you know, and against some other teams as well. Under former boss Southgate, England reached, you know, like G was saying, the back-to-back European champions. But like Tuchel was critical of this style of play. So Tuchel's critical of the way Southgate played, you know. Well, I tell you what, the daggers are going to be out tonight too for Tuchel. You know what I mean? You know, he's saying that, you know, it's a heavy shirt. You know what I mean? To wear.
It is.
You know?
Yeah, I agree with him with that. It is.
Do you reckon?
It is now. I'm kind of
in disagreement, me.
Go on.
Do you know what I mean? Because I think it's only kind of, I mean, Carsley, he was just on some different trip. You know what I mean?
His
mistakes was critical. You know what I mean? You know, like in a theatre when them say, Smaddy, critical. You know what I mean? That's his kind of like style of play. You know what I mean? So, hear this now. Coming live from the man called CV. They should win the group easy. They're not playing any big team. And we hear that, Mr. CV. Yes! You know, so it may not be present in the studio,
but when I tune in,
you know, so enough respect. And they should brook it up, smash it up, whatever way, you know, it should be parliamentary procedures.
I mean, really, looking at the draw that they've got, a lot of people are going to think they should win the group, shouldn't they? Hands down, they should win the group. But like I was,
to me, that's non-negotiable.
There you go.
That is non-negotiable.
There you go. But when it comes to the World Cup and things like that, to me, players always play a little different.
Yeah, but do you know, I mean,
can pull it out. But this is, we'll see.
They should be playing with no fear. To be honest with you,
there should be. They should go out there and just kill it. Really.
Yeah, yeah. No fear for me.
The shirt is not heavy in reality, but. Of course, I know what the players mean, and it maybe is another way to put it. What I felt watching the Euros, I felt like I felt tension and pressure on the shoulders of the players, and it felt to me that they were more afraid of, they were like, that they were playing for not to, to lose and not to have even more pressure added maybe in the home country than the excitement to maybe make something special happen. And I think we need to turn this around because, as you said, we have so many experienced players, so many players who won the trophies with their clubs, and I think we have every right to be self-confident. But every journey starts as it is with the first match and the first steps. So the very first steps we did excellent, and now we have to prove the point that, that we are ready for that. And we will have six camps to first of all qualify and then make our very best in America. We have to prove the point.
Bought every shirt, you know? That shirt, they're too light, man. You know what I mean?
It's just kind of like...
I think it's just kind of like playing it down, really. You know what I mean? And it's all about confidence. You've got some, you know, some toppers, young player, Gibbs White. I mean, he didn't even make the original cut. It was only because the Chelsea youth there, Cole Palmer was kind of like injured. That's why Gibbs White come in. But even the pundits were just saying, how come Gibbs hasn't reached in that squad? You know what I mean? So, yeah, that kind of like really surprised me, that. And talking about Gibbs White, another surprise package for me was Dan Byrne, 32, the Newcastle defender. You know, I think Dan is just like a giant lamppost. You know, he's just huge, massive. You know what I mean? So, set plays, you know, stick the ball in the air. You know,
he's
the man, you know. I mean, people can kind of like pick me up on this. I wouldn't say he's kind of like really that kind of agile in that, but, you know, I don't really watch a lot of Newcastle, you know what I mean? But I suppose to be kind of like in the limelight at 32, you know.
He must be saying something. Yeah, he's going to be saying something. He's doing something, yeah, right, isn't he?
I mean, James Trafford, yeah. Burnley keeper, got a wicked kind of like, you know, like shutouts and that, but it's not just through him, it's through the defence. I'd challenge that though, maybe, you know, people might say, oh, you're being a bit biased, but Michael Cooper, the Sheffield United's keeper, you know, if you haven't seen him play, keep your eye on that one. And I think Burnley play Sheffield United when there's probably maybe 2-3 games to go. So that's going to be a real taster. Jordan Henderson, 34-year-old, being called back in to the England setup. Another surprise for me also as well. But yeah, I mean, it should be a formality. You know what I mean? England should bust it up and, you know, they probably have tootled on as a messiah or something like that. But you put a decent nation in front of him, and then we'll see. We'll see how,
yeah,
how he's
we'll
talking.
See how this one,
you know,
goes
what I mean?
With him, you know what I mean? So
yeah. So yeah. Just want to kind of like mention the Steel City derby from last week. You know, so-called kind of like bragging rights and
I never saw that. I never
all
watched
that
it.
Kind of stuff. Yeah, I mean, do you know what? You got it spot on. You said 1-0. I said an away win. We both got it right, but you got it. You went a step further. You know what I mean? I mean, if you look at the stats and all that kind of stuff, I just think, how can you have bragging rights? You know, it must be, what, 2017 since Sheffield Wednesday scored a goal against Sheffield United, 2017. And it must be, what, 2009 or something like that, the last time Wednesday beat United. So, you know.
Very good track record, that, is it?
Yeah, so I'm thinking if Wednesday won, would you get bragging rights, you know, with that kind of record?
Nah. That's no bragging rights.
You have to earn that.
Yeah, you have to humble yourself still. Yeah, you won a game after how many years and whatever.
You've got to earn it, you know what I mean?
There's nothing to brag about. Yeah.
See it there? And I just want to play the kind of like passion of Chris Wilder.
Yeah, it feels good. Talk to the players before
and mentioned, I've just mentioned it in the press conference there, how we were really cool for so long, six seasons in League One, Pub League and all stuff like that when I took over in 2016. And I still think, I still talk about it to me pals, United pals and Wednesday pals. I'm sat in a pub, would you believe, shock, watching Wednesday versus Hull. And I said, if Wednesday win today to get into the Premier League, they might be gone for 10, 15, 20 years. They didn't. And we managed to slowly close the gap slowly, 100 points in the first season. Then we came here and won 4-2, the Meadowhall League manager against the Champions League manager. Get that result. The season afterwards, we sold David Brooks and with a profit of £6 million, possibly a 13th or 14th highest budget in the division, we managed to finish runners-up to Norwich City, find ourselves in the Premier League. In the Premier League, ninth finish, and then a disappointing season, and then playoffs. Sure, we'd have gone up if Paul had got the job at the start of the season, or I'd have possibly stayed without being arrogant about it, because the team was set to go up. Next season, go up, disappointing season. And what I wanted to do, which I told the players, I wanted to adjust the narrative of where we were, that we weren't the Pub League. We weren't ridiculed. Nobody cared about us. Nobody was abusing me. Nobody was trying to run me down in a car or whatever. Nobody's giving it me. When that happened, then all of a sudden, it changes. And now we're a little bit more of a rival, a little bit more of a threat. Then we go above them. Then we go even further above them. And tonight we're 31 points above them.
Wow.
And it's amazing.
Tell them, Chris.
That nobody talked 31. About us going top. And would have gone even further ahead with 2 points added on that we should
tell
in
them.
Terms of the team and what we've done with a team that's been put together in 7 months.
Go on, Chris.
Wanted us to dominate the city at academy level, we're doing that. Go wanted on. Us to have the best ground, we're definitely doing that.
Go on.
The supporters are the supporters. Fabulous supporters from both sets. Passionate. The noise in here again today was electric. I knew it was coming. I talked about when Jao scored, when we went 2-2 that. We knew what was happening. We knew it would be a fast start. We know what it's like at Bramall Lane. I know what it's like here. I told the players, this is going to happen. This is what the game's going to be. So, wanted to have the best ground, wanted to have the best training ground, bought a new training ground. Somebody's come in.
You're that captain.
To take the club further.
Yeah, the best.
Is, I think, testament to the work that we're doing. And they see ambition and life and a future in there.
Foolishness.
I think the manager's gone on transfer market and found out that we were worth 125 million. That money's been earned by what happened in League One when we sold Dominic Calvert-Lewin, when we sold Ched Adams, when we sold other players. It was earned when we went into the Premier League. It was earned again by retention.
Yes,
there's a lot there, isn't there?
100%.
Wednesday has no comeback on them kind of thing. You know what I mean? You're a long, long... I'm sorry to say it, but Wednesday's way, 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 way down in the pit.
You know?
United's up there. They're making progress in all walks. You know what I mean? They're saying that the academy is buzzing here now, whatever else. Up and playing comes, which is a good thing. You know what I mean? Which is a very good thing. So Wednesday just have to cool themselves.
Tell them again.
Nobody said nothing, you know what I mean? Just cool on yourself.
Yeah, that.
Sorry, Captain. I saw you go, you know?
Yeah, and this is my message to Arden Wednesday. It's out there. What this? Yaffy Bow. Captain Morgan, Yaffy Bow. Oh, Wednesday, fan, Yaffy Bow. Yes! Everyone wants to live a nation. Remember this,
a winner! You have to be a winner!
All Wednesday fan happy ball. Go on! Yeah.
That should be the new Derby anthem, shouldn't it?
All Wednesday fan happy ball. Tell them! 100%! You know what I mean? Because I can remember when start of the season, captain was kind of saying, oh, we've got 6 points and this, that and the other. You know what I mean? Well, yeah, you might have your 6 points, but you get them from somewhere else.
Yeah,
you don't pick our pocket, because we pick your in your back pocket. You know what I mean?
Yeah, what's this?
You know?
You have to give respect to the captain, though, because he's a solid supporter of the team.
Respect!
It bigs them up.
He must have earned that. He must have earned that,
oh,
G.
Oh, dear.
I tell you. You know what I mean? But yeah, you know.
As my man says, yeah, now here, Sevier again now. He says, has anyone heard anything from Wednesday number one fan?
We don't hear from him.
The captain, because he was running up his mouth, but like always, his phone has broken yet again.
Hey.
Yeah, captain's phones always seem to go out of order when them get a lick down, you know?
Mm.
It will come back, don't worry.
Yeah,
easy CV,
you know.
Easy.
I mean, like Wilder says, you know, they knew what they was gonna get. You know, Wednesday out of the traps, 100 mile an hour football. You know, Blaze just had to weather the storm. You know what I mean? And just that little smart bit of play in the final third, a bit of quality. But yeah, we taught ours a lesson, you know, in our them backyard again. And like I said, it was 2017, the last time them score a goal. 2017, you know. You know, how dare they say
I'm sorry, but
that
it's getting to
they're
be
gonna
an
come for bragging rights. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the last time, I mean Mo probably will remember this, Lucas Jow. That was the last time, you know, a Wednesday player actually scored when we broke them up in their own backyard 4-2, you know, so we give them two. I mean, with Wilder, you know, he's kind of like energetic, you know, emotional attachment to the Blades, full of energy. And that's the difference. I think the last time the Owls actually beat Blades was, I think, the 1-2-1 when Tudgay and Clark scored. And I think it was Lupoli who actually put United on the map in that game. But anyway, you know, like Wilder said, like Sweet Talking Sports says, like GNCV said, them season done. You know?
Not even start, is
you've it? You've had your fun, now it done. Yeah? So.
You see the message from Mo? The three smiley laughing faces.
Hey! You know? I mean, Mo will probably say, you know, I mean, what are you playing for, captain? You know what I mean? Are you playing for pride? You know? Are you playing to be the best? To rub shoulders with the best? But nobody's talking about, and I said this to CV, nobody's saying, do you know what? We might have to say goodbye to them. And the gap, mine it. You know? Because
yeah.
Wednesday said that they was on their way. Me can't see them, G.
No.
Can't me can't see them, you know?
No. Them not come nowhere farther. The motor side, looking at the mirror, you still can't see them.
Hey, it's true. It's true. So yeah, that just thought I'd just kind of like highlight that, not being biased or anything, but it goes without saying, you know.
Yeah. It's a shame, still in it, that
shame. No, sir.
It's reality. It would be nice to have another team in another town that you could actually have a proper competition, a proper football game with, isn't it?
Yeah.
Something to excite the fans, isn't it? Not
yeah,
to go
yeah,
there
yeah.
thinking, oh, it's just another one of them games again. We're going to lose again. And what's the point going? And United, man, I said, oh, come on, man. Let's go down there and just watch them get match up and go drink two lager after and feel sweet, you know?
Yep. Oh, boy. Mm-hmm.
But okay. Let's wait and see.
Yeah,
see
that's true.
But yeah, Chris Wilder's bigging up Sheffield United, is doing very well down there with them. So move forward, upwards
yeah.
and forward.
That's true.
I heard of that the player would just kind of, they've done something on a night out or done something to try and enhance it.
Just going
to
skip into the reason drugs in football and a bit of doping. Just listen to this.
Get caught. And the reason you get caught is from, I think again, it's the second half of my career, they started doing whereabouts.
Whereabouts?
So have you heard about any of this? So back in the day, like a drug tester might come in on a Wednesday, or whatever. And in fact, no, it's still the same. So let me try and address this properly. Drug tests are random, yeah. And when they come to your club, the people they pick, unless there's somebody who has to be checked because of a previous, like, ban or whatever, right. It's random, yeah. But on days, for example, so from Monday through Saturday, the club will list everybody that's training, everyone that's going to be in. And so if the drug test is coming on a Tuesday, here's a list of everybody's going to be in. Let's do it at random. This person's going to do a test, so on and so forth, yeah. But it could happen any day. But if you're somebody that's not going to be in, you have to do your whereabouts.
Right.
So you've got to say an hour, I think it's either an hour or 2 hours, within the day of where you're going to be.
Okay.
Because you could be randomly drug tested as well on that day.
Got you.
So you can't escape the cycle of being available to be tested.
Okay.
So if somebody, say, is playing 1 week and they maybe do something and they say they're going to be ill, the fact is if they're at the training ground, they're still up to be able to be tested. And even if they're not, you have to do your whereabouts. Because if you don't do your whereabouts, do that hour thing, you get a strike. You get 3 strikes, you get a ban.
Oh, okay.
So as far as drug testing goes within, say, professional sport, firstly, like for most, they'd probably declare that it's pointless because, you know, you could maybe take this drug that enhances your aerobic performance, but if you can't kick a ball, all of a sudden you're still not going to be playing, and the gains you can make, they're so, like, marginal. I see what you mean.
Yeah.
So drugs within football aren't a big deal. I think clubs...
See, because everyone thinks that they are.
No, not even close. In track and field, to where, like, the difference between you earning a million and you earning, like, 100,000 is a tenth of a second in a sprint.
Yeah,
I just thought I'd kind of, like, dive into this one. I mean, we kind of, like, explored a bit of drugs earlier on in the athletics with the Kenyan athletics guys. You know, there's a big, massive kind of like number of athletes what are kind of like fudging it. You know, I think there was about, what, mentioned about 600 odd, I think it were something like 647, yeah, athletes, banned athletes, and 1, 2, 3 out of them are Kenyan. But in football, obviously it's completely different. But I wasn't aware of that, G, when, you know, that the whereabouts. So like, if a player's kind of, like, injured or not well or whatever, or the club might have given a player a day off for personal reasons, between a certain time, he has to say where he's going to be, whether he's going to be at home, whether he's going to be at family's, or, you know, whether... he'll be on the golf course or something, because these people, you know, can just turn up and, you know...
I've heard that before, yeah.
You have to give them a sample. 3 strikes...
And you're out.
You're out. You're on a ban. And it's, you know, the finger's going to be pointed at them. I mean, you know, it goes back to, say, back in 2004 when Rio Ferdinand... breach rules E26 after he had failed to submit to the drug testing. He got an 8-month ban and got found 50,000 quid.
Is it worth it?
Do you know what? I mean nobody will know what was in his system.
Exactly.
You know? And, you know, failed to show, you know, that the, but he could say, yeah, but I'm kind of, nobody's taken a test. I'm not guilty. What do you define in my system? But then somebody could say, well, why didn't you submit?
Exactly. You've got 3 chances. 100%. 3 chances to take the test.
He took the ban and paid 50 grand.
No, that to me is a guilty man.
Yes, you could say that.
That to me is a guilty man. I know he did something wrong and he decided, instead of my career done, let me take the ban, let me pay the money. I can afford the money, not a problem. Let me take the ban and pay the money, then crack on at the end of it.
Too true.
I mean, since then, has there been any problems with him not taking any tests if they've turned up? No.
Well, I mean, if Ferdinand, he kind of like retired now, but I just use that as a marker. You know what I mean? Sticking with football, want to talk about Chelsea now, for the right or wrong reasons or whatever, but You know, I'm not sure if people out there have heard of flipping kind of like property. Chelsea are using that kind of model, in my opinion. Not flipping property, but flipping players. So, you know, excuse the term. Basically, buying a player, making improvements, you know, improving the player, increase the value, and then selling them on for profit.
That's business.
It's business. So the goal, the objective, player flipping, to buy a player below potential market value, you know, develop the player, that's an investment, and sell them for a higher price. And on the way, hopefully, they'll win a few titles along the way. But
that could catch on, that, couldn't it?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I get it.
It's a big gamble still, but it could catch on.
Yeah, I think, well, they're obviously kind of like looking at something and they're thinking, do you know what? We should go with this. Don't be surprised, but Chelsea have signed kind of like some young players as well. They signed this guy, combined price, $62 million, outside the transfer window. Or is it just the latest quirk of the club's hierarchy, you know, or the appetite to see a good deal? Sporting winger, sort of like this kid, 17-year-old, will join the Blues next season, while midfielder Esugo, not sure that pronunciation is probably fudged up, but we'll carry on anyway. He will move to the summer. You know, so Chelsea stockpiling players, buying young players, looking to get an investment with them, putting a big price on them.
It could be a win-win, really, couldn't it? I mean, if you bring up a player and he actually is good, you more than likely will keep him in the team to play for the team, whether it's the under-21s until he works his way up. But then again, if you want, you can sell him. So, you know what I mean?
I mean, to say that you don't win anything with kids, you know what I mean? You know, so you need some kind of like experience as well in there. I mean,
it is a gamble.
Yeah. I mean, they're kind of like average kind of like age group. A players, I think it must be 24 or something like that, you know what I mean? You know, a recent UEFA report declared that Chelsea 2024 squad was comfortably the most expensive ever assembled, 24% higher than the previous record by Real Madrid that was set in 2020, you know what I mean? So, you know, instead of, you know, so they've got the same model as flipping property, but it's just flipping the players. You know what I mean? So if you was a young player now and you got approached by Chelsea, what would your immediate thoughts be? You know, am I ever going to play for the first team? Or are they just looking to make a profit? I mean, I suppose if the player and his agent commands a big signing on fee, no doubt he'll get a big contract and stuff, that if any club in future coming for him and they fancy him, then maybe they're going to have to buy the contract also as well. So like you said, G, could be win-win-win, you know?
It could be.
But we know that...
And it is kind of off-putting, yeah, you've just put way as well. It is kind of something that if a young kid gets approached now, you're going to think, is it worth it? But then again, you know what I mean? It's one of them. It could be worth it. You know what I mean? You know, so they're going to sell you to another team. That team's not going to buy you unless you have some potential.
They'll have potential without a doubt. I mean, you know, they're probably using that AI kind of like latest kind of like system for scouting players, networking, you know, all over the world. So looking to yam up the young players like Pac-Man, you know what I mean, and kind of flip them and make some dollar upon them, you know what I mean? You know, the players, you know, they're kind of assets, I suppose. They're looking to build up for them stock.
Yeah, you know.
So hence, you know, getting rid of the kind of players, you know, the wrong side of the age, whatever their kind of benchmark is for their players, but... You know, they're
I'd love to see how that contract is written up now, though.
Yeah, that would be massive. That would be massive.
I'd like to know how they write up that contract now then for a player.
Mm. Yeah, that's gonna be kind of interesting. So you've been listening to Sweet Talking Sport, G.
Another week done.
Yeah,
fair enough.
And much appreciation to CV. You know what I mean? It was kind of like, just that's grateful, you know. So listen to the tune, and we're closing out with this one.